like, oh, so that's wonderful. So I ran a half marathon, walked 26,000 steps, and am going to run a marathon tomorrow.
It is Runs With Podcast, episode 312. Starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to the Diz Runs With podcast, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we get started today, I just want to go ahead and thank everybody that took part in a little birthday gift for my wife that I mentioned on Monday's episode of the show, on episode 311. She figured it out. She figured it out eventually. She figured out that something was up. When the dollar donations, the first one or two, she was like, I don't know what this is, but whatever. She was like, somebody must have shared this, but I don't know what's going on. And then they kept coming in, and then we got a couple of bigger ones. A couple of you guys came through with some bigger donations, so thank you for those. But eventually she figured that something was up and that maybe I was behind it. She never guessed the podcast, though. She was guessing Twitter. She was guessing Facebook, that somehow she didn't see a message on Facebook, which she totally would have seen. So I don't know, you know, why she was even guessing that. But eventually I caved and told her that I announced it on the podcast. And so thank you guys that contributed the dollar and or more, you know, whatever you contributed, it's very much appreciated. And if you missed out, but you still want to contribute, you can. That link, dizruns.com/CMN for Children's Miracle Network, will be live until the race, until Princess Weekend in February of 2017, at which point I'll take it off. But if you want to throw a dollar her way, that's still appreciated. I'm not going to keep plugging it. Just know that we're thankful. She was very thankful that you guys would do that, and I'm thankful that you do that too. Although I'm not surprised in the slightest. So thanks for all the dollar pledges. It's appreciated from both of us. So with that, let's go ahead and get on with today's episode of the show. Hey guys. Today I'm running with someone that is still having a hard time calling herself a runner, even though she accidentally ran her first marathon in 2009. Since then, she's run several more marathons and has twice completed the Dopey Challenge down here at Walt Disney World. I think that it's safe to say that whether or not she wants to believe it, Angela Baracco is definitely a runner. Anyway, we'll get into all that discussion as we go, but thanks for joining us today, Angela, and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And guys, if you haven't connected with Angela before, you can check out her website, which will kind of leads into why I was talking about whether she wants to believe that she's a runner or not, because her website is runnerindenial.com. And she's got the best social media handle I think I've ever seen on all across the social media platforms. And it's kind of a great play on that website address. It's actually, her handle is @DERunnerNIAL, which is Runner in Denial, if you kind of get what I'm saying there. So I'll have those links and anything else that makes sense that we talk about in the show notes for today's episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/312. So Angela, the way we always start off the show is with a pretty simple and straightforward question that sometimes has a simple and straightforward answer, and sometimes it's a little bit more convoluted, but it just gives us a place to start from, and that's to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
So I had to think about this, and I really do believe that my favorite distance is actually the marathon.
Okay.
Which I don't think is usual. I think people who run marathons, usually you hear them say, well, you know, I do this, but my favorite distance is the half, which, you know, it doesn't take as much time in terms of training. You can still have a social life, but I think there's something about the marathon distance that I am very well equipped for. Mm. I enjoy the training. I love the feeling of coming home from a 20-mile run on a Saturday and it's 10 a.m. and some people are still, you know, getting up from a wild night the day before. And I'm already, you know, on second breakfast and have taken a nap. And if you look at, I've run 8 marathons now, and all my pictures from every single one, I am smiling. And if you look at my photos from half marathons, 15Ks, 10Ks, I look miserable. So I would have to say that it's definitely the long distance. I find a groove and I feel comfortable. And I think that's why I keep going back to this distance that mm-hmm. I once said that I would never run.
Right, right. So you kind of, I guess, maybe answered what I was about to ask, but when you talked about just kind of finding the groove, but I'm going to ask it anyway in case there's something more to it. What do you think, or, you know, you mentioned the smiles and the pictures. I mean, you know, I am of the, I guess not necessarily of the belief, but I, at least for myself, like I've never taken a good, you know, mid-race picture. like they're never good. But why with the smiles during the longer races and not so much smiling, do you think during the shorter stuff?
I think I'm really good at pacing for longer distances. I had, so the first marathon I ran with a charity team and we had a bunch of wonderful coaches and we met for a run a week after the New York City Marathon just to be together and talk about, you know, how the race went. And one of the coaches made a comment that my splits were perfectly even. And she thinks if I did a 100-miler, I'd probably find the pace that was comfortable and be able to keep it for all 100 miles. And I do think that's true. If you look at my splits from all of my marathons, they're within seconds wow. of each other. I have one negative split at the marathon distance that I did in Chicago. But every other one, you know, it's less than a minute difference between the first 13 miles and the second 13 miles. I think I'm very good at finding a place where I feel good and staying with it. Mm-hmm. And I can keep it for a distance. With the shorter distances, I feel like I have to be running fast. And I think I struggle with pacing on shorter distances. Gotcha. And that's why I look so miserable.
No, I mean, that makes sense. If you're you know, really, really struggling, if you go out too fast or you're just struggling to find a comfortable pace, I mean, that definitely makes sense. Any ideas, you know, I can understand maybe the, at least for me, I have I don't even say a love hate, other than maybe I love to hate the 5K. It's just, you know, brutal, short, you know, too short, too fast. You never find anything comfortable at all because you're just going from the beginning. But I feel like for me in the half marathon and the 10-mile distance, something like that, anywhere in kind of that type of range, you know, I feel like I can find a halfway decent pace for a while and then maybe kind of try to kick it up a little bit at the end. And maybe that's where the misery starts to creep in. But what is it about the, you know, that middle range distance of the, you know, the half marathon ish range that, do you struggle to find a pace there too?
I do. Last year I went out, I wanted my goal race to be a half marathon and I worked with a coach throughout the summer. It was an end of September race and I ended up getting sick and was on antibiotics the day after the race. So it wasn't my best day anyway. But I felt like I was so much more prepared in terms of the training than the way I performed that day. And I was able to keep the pace for like the first 5-6 miles. And then my coach had me speeding up. And for the life of me, I could not speed up. Mm-hmm. Whereas, I don't know what it is. I am able to keep myself more positive during longer distances. I think I was once told during a run that I am annoyingly positive. And
I think you can take that as a compliment. I think so.
Yeah. And I felt that when I ran the Philadelphia Marathon last year, I ran with a friend who I did run Dopey with in January as well. And every like mile I would, you know, have something that I was celebrating. And I feel like the marathon distance, I don't know whether it's because I'm running slower and maybe I just feel more comfortable at that type of that pace, or I'm just more excited by the difference. And I feel like I have maybe a more emotional connection to that distance. But I do find myself, I think I struggle the most with the half marathon, just in general, in terms of staying positive and then picking up the pace based on what I know I'm capable of doing.
That's interesting. I wonder if in the half marathon, if you ever just, you know, like instead of trying to leave something to be able to pick up at the end, if you ever were just like, you know, this is what the goal is, and I'm just going to try to hit that split from the start, if that would be a better experience for you or not. I don't know.
Yeah, I think when I do decide to train specifically for a half again, that is going to be the approach I take, because I think the trying to negative split it in the way that I was being coached last year, I think that failed me. I think I'm probably better off saying, you know, this is the time goal I want to hit, and taking that and, you know, dividing it by 13.1 and saying, what do I have to run consistently to hit that, and seeing if that approach works better for me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it sounds like that it's certainly worth a shot, and I wouldn't be surprised if that really did work for you, and you might have some half marathon smiling pictures, you know, at some point in the future too.
Let's hope so.
So, I have to ask this too, with the fact that, like you said, the longer distance, the marathon distance, like you're able to settle in and really, you know, run a pretty darn even races every time, whether it's a negative split or not. I feel like that's the, you know, plus or minus a few minutes, like it counts, like it's good enough for me. I would love to be
right,
you know, within a minute of a negative split on a marathon. But, any possibility down the road of venturing into beyond marathon status?
I definitely think so. The last New York City marathon I did was not last year. So that was, 2014 I ran New York City. And in Central Park, there is a race called the Knickerbocker 60K. And it's either 1 week or 2 weeks after the New York City Marathon. Mm-hmm. And it's just multiple loops around Central Park. So it's horribly boring. However, I ran the New York City Marathon. I, you know, got a personal best. I was feeling amazing. And I went on and completely determined to sign myself up for the Knickerbocker 60K. And I was going to do it. And then I realized that I had a wedding on that day. And like, I felt like my heart broke, because I was for one day I decided that I wanted to run this race. And I was upset because I had a wedding. So I do think, I don't know that it's something that I would just flat out sign up for, but I think that if I am in that post marathon high that I obviously get to, that it might be this impulse decision of course I can run an ultra, and just bulking it on, like I'm already trained, you know, like what's a couple more miles?
I have been on record several times as saying that 26.2 is enough and 26.3 is too much, but, I'm being worn down. I could see a 50K at some point, probably sooner rather than later, but, I don't know. The people that go 100 miles or just some of that, you know, to me, stupid stuff. Like, I don't know how they do it, but I mean, more power to them, I guess.
Yeah. Days. It's like days of running.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you know, I lay down for 45 minutes and catch a nap. I'm going, you're kidding me, right? Like after 50 miles, you're going to sleep for 45 minutes and you're going to get up and do another 50. Like, you're crazy.
Sounds nuts.
Yeah. It really, I think it is nuts. I don't think it just sounds nuts. I think it is nuts. You mentioned a couple times, you know, or you mentioned that some of the different races you've run, Chicago, New York, Philly, obviously Disney as part of the Adobe Challenge stuff. I almost hesitate to say bias, but I have in my notes like a big race bias question mark, meaning like, are you really drawn to these big crowded, you know, tens of thousands of people races, or is it just the way that the cookie has crumbled so far and those are the races that you've done?
I think it's a little bit of both. New York City is where I grew up. So it is kind of like my hometown marathon. I accidentally happened to sign up for it the first time around, and I kind of was like, you know, it's a bucket list, you know, I'll run I'll run it once and it'll be wonderful. And I'll say I did it. Mm-hmm. I ran through New York, and I'll have everyone that, you know, I love here. My family's all here, and it'll be a great day. And I think I was across the finish line, maybe 15 minutes. And I met my parents, and the first words out of my mouth were, "For next year's marathon." And my dad was like, "Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh." But, so New York definitely has a draw to me. It's easier for someone in New York to get into the New York City Marathon. They have a special program that I don't have to enter the lottery. I've run the New York City Marathon 4 times. I'm currently in the process of making sure that I have guaranteed entry for the 2017 New York City Marathon. So I think I do that because it's easy. I don't have to get a hotel, you know, it's very easy for my friends and family to be out on the course. I get my family finish line bleacher seats so that I have my family at the finish line. So that's an easy one for me to run.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chicago. I love Chicago. I like the city. I was definitely drawn by the fact that it is significantly flatter than New York. And there is something, I think I am very pulled by large crowds. And when I think of people who run marathons on a 26-mile course that is virtually silent, I am impressed and amazed. Like, I just don't, I run these big city marathons and I don't have to put headphones in, because there are people screaming your name and there are bands and there's music and there's, you know, someone in Brooklyn handing out pizza or cookies on Fifth Avenue or, you know, and it's just this, that's what gets you through or that's what gets me through. So I think I am attracted to races that draw large crowds, because it really becomes, it feels like this 26.2 mile party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the spectators. I'm right there with you on that side of things. But, you know, if I could wave my magic wand and make my perfect race, it would be, you know, all the spectators and crazy crowd and excitement of a big city race with like 4,000 people in it, so that it's not bumping and jostling the whole way, because that part just it irks the heck out of me. I've done several of the Disney races, because it's the same thing for you with the New York. It's close. It's 45 minutes. Yep. No hotel, no travel issues. Like it's super easy. But man, it's just too crowded, especially at the start. You know, the first few miles of a half,
so or
you know, the first 10K of the marathon, it's just, oh, like you're tripping over people. So I just, you know, I like those 4,000 or 5,000 where you're never feeling alone on the course as far as runners, but you got some room too. But, you know, here, no, there. That my perfect race will never happen, because they'll never have, you know, 100,000 spectators and only 5,000 runners. Like, that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Well, that's why I always say with the Disney races that, you know, some people do go there to run and really race. But I think with the crowding issue, like you're better off just going and having fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just no, taking it from there, exactly. Stopping to take pictures and be silly
exactly.
Because the crowding makes an issue anyway. So you might as well get some cool photos out of it.
Yep. Yep. And I would definitely want to talk more about some of your Disney experience, because I know a lot of people that have talked about wanting to do Dopey. So I'm always curious to figure out how that plays out, the logistics of it, because I've never done you know, a consecutive an event weekend like that. But before we get into that, I've got to go back. I mentioned it in the intro. You mentioned it about the first marathon by mistake, and I've got to hear that story, because I mean, how do you accidentally end up running a marathon like that? That doesn't seem like it should be able to happen.
Yeah, well, it's not like I went out for a 5 mile run and accidentally
and just ended
ran
up at 26.
The New York City Marathon. So in college, I was not a runner. I hated running. I was the girl who used to pretend to sprain my ankle so I got out of the, you know, 1 mile run in gym class. And in college, I went to school in Boston, and the Boston Marathon went right past my school, and I always watched it, and it was always, "This is wonderful. I will never do this. But there was it was appealing to me that people did this. And I wish I could have been a runner. I tried to go out on certain runs with my roommate at the time, and I was horrible. And I was like, this is not a sport for me. Mm-hmm. But I was really active. I was a personal trainer at the gym at school. And when I moved back to New York after college, I was exhausted with a full-time job. And I was not working out as much as I was in school. And it started to like weigh on me. So I signed up for a half marathon thinking, well, I know that I can't even run a mile, and this is going to force me to train for 13 because they have my credit card and I'm doing it. They've already charged me. I am running these 13.1 miles. So I trained for 3 months. I remember being so nervous with my first 6 miles that I planned the route so that I went by two of my aunt's houses. So just in case, you know, I don't know, I passed out or something, that someone would be along the route. But I did the 13 and it felt amazing. You know, I had my family there, I had friends there, and I couldn't wait to do it again because you just, you know, you feel on top of the world when you cross that finish line. So I went on, someone had said, you know, the New York City half marathon is phenomenal. Why don't you go see if you can get in? So I went on, and I don't know if it was a lottery at that point yet, but it was already closed, and I saw that I couldn't get in, but there were still spots if you trained with a charity team. And I looked into this charity team. The charity is Team for Kids. I still work with them in some capacity. They're coaches. I'm still in contact with them. They raise funds for running programs in a lot of like inner city schools. They have a bunch of different types of events throughout the city at these schools with these children. And it spoke to me as a charity, as a teacher at the time. And I was like, I'm gonna run with them. And I clicked on the link and I put in all my information and I put in my credit card and I clicked submit, and the screen that popped up said, congratulations, you've registered to run the New York City Marathon. So I clicked the wrong link. So instead of registering with them to run the half, I put in my credit card to run the full. I flipped out. I called my mom and I was like, I just registered to run the marathon. And she's like, what would you do that for? And I was like, I don't know. And she goes, what are you going to do? And I was like, Mom, they have my credit card. They're going to charge me like $2,600 if I don't run. And who's going to donate to me if I don't run a marathon? So I'm going to run a marathon. So I just kind of accepted it. This is when I said, bucket list item. I will do it. I will get through it. They were amazing. They have a couple runs each week that we met up in Central Park or different areas of the city to do long runs together. So there was a lot of support throughout the training. And I met a lot of friends that way. So it became, you know, like a social event. And it was just kind of, I decided it would be a one and done because I did this by accident, and here I am.
Do you think, and I don't know, maybe you've thought of this before and maybe not, but looking back on the situation and how it played out, if you had been able to register without going through the charity thing and still made the same mistake and still accidentally signed up, you know, for the marathon instead of the half, but it wasn't for the charity. Do you think that would have changed changed how the trajectory of your running future?
Yeah. I mean, I think I probably would have tried to get out of it. I really do, because as much as I had this, you know, that 13.1 runner's high, the thought of double that was terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. And whenever people now run a half marathon and they say to me, I can't imagine doing that twice, my answer is always, well, you kind of wouldn't be doing that twice, because you run a half marathon completely different than you run a full marathon. Mm. And you'd also be trained for it. So the same way that before you ran a half marathon, you know, that 13.1 was daunting. Mm-hmm. It gets less daunting as you go through the training and your body adapts. But at the time, there is no way that I think I would have just accepted the fact that I accidentally registered for the wrong one.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been, it's always, you know, looking back, it's always, to me at least, you know, I wonder how that would have turned out, but clearly it worked out in a good way. And like you said, you're able to meet some friends and have that social support as well, which, I mean, I think anybody in the running community would attest to, you know, how valuable that can be of knowing that people are going to be meeting you for a run, or just that you have somebody to commiserate with and complain with and celebrate with,
exactly.
And all that kind of stuff that goes along with the having people to run with in person and on a regular basis.
Right.
So how was the first marathon experience? I mean, obviously it was good enough that you decided to continue to come back and run some more marathons in the future, but did it go pretty smoothly? Was it a nightmare? You know, looking back again, kind of rose-colored glasses maybe, but how was that first marathon?
It was amazing. So the New York City Marathon, you start on Staten Island, and the first 2 miles you're going over a bridge. So it's really completely silent besides, you know, people's feet. There's a couple of volunteers on the bridge that cheer, but you don't really hear anything but that. You've got wind. And after the 2 miles, when you come into Brooklyn, I don't think I was emotionally prepared for what I was going to experience during this race. And people told me to put my name on the front of my shirt, so I did just that. And the first, like, five people to scream my name in Brooklyn, I started to cry on the course. That I actually out loud said to myself, man up, Angela, you cannot cry every time someone says your name for 26 miles.
Right.
And the person next to me spoke to me and was like, yeah, I'm getting teary too. So, like, I don't think I was prepared for how emotional this sport is, mm-hmm. and the feeling of being out on that course. I don't think anything gets me as emotionally charged as the New York City Marathon. I love running through the different neighborhoods. I love that you get to experience different parts of the city, and you can really, the energy is unlike anything else. I had a blast. I wasn't going for a specific time. I high-fived every little kid. Mm-hmm. I took a cookie from someone in the Bronx. I really was just out there to have fun. I ended up meeting a goal that I had kind of just thrown out there, like, hey, it'd be great to finish under 5 hours. Mm-hmm. But I didn't try specifically for that, and it just kind of happened. I was out there having fun. But I loved every minute of that race, and I had my parents at the finish line in the bleachers, and it's still vivid of me running up the stretch to the finish line and seeing my parents run down the bleachers and my mother screaming. I mean, you could hear my mom from a mile away, you know, and it's just, I think back to that moment, and it was incredible. How could you not want to go back and run that every year? I threw a tantrum the first year that I didn't run the New York City Marathon. It's a special race.
Gotcha. And like you said, you're already trying to make sure the pieces are in place to run it next year too. So that's, you know, keep coming back to it. Why not? You talked about just the fun and how emotional it can be and just how much fun it can be. You know, kind of fun and running. And a lot of people think of Disney right away. And you've got, you know, not only Dopey, but a couple other times I know you've been down here and run, running some of the different weekend events or just even the standalone races here and there. And looking at the one of your posts on the website, I don't think we've ever run the same race, which is crazy because in the same time frame, we've probably run just about every, between one or two of us, we've run just about every race that's been in the calendar year that year, but the same one. But neither here nor there. What is it about the Disney races that keeps you, you know, coming back and doing them again?
Well, I love Disney. It is probably one of my, if not my favorite vacation destination. I feel like whenever, as an adult, whenever you go elsewhere and you're on vacation, there's still some part of you who knows that you're an adult and you have responsibilities and a job at home. In Disney World, I forget all of that. So it's an opportunity to be on vacation, run a race. My clan continues to grow with each Disney race. I started out just my little family of four. I'm going for Princess Weekend 2017. We are up to 20 people.
Goodness gracious.
Coming. Actually, Run Disney helped us make our hotel reservation because we have so many people running with the races that they were very happy to assist us. I think the Disney races, they're, for such large events, they are very organized in terms of just moving a lot of people along and getting them into the right spot. I love that there's no stress. So it's kind of like, I'm going to run whatever is comfortable today and I'm going to stop and wait online and take photos. So kind of removing the stress of having to hit a certain pace or a time goal is gone for me. And it's a vacation.
Right.
I love it. I'm an annual pass holder, so I try and get as many Disney vacations throughout the year as I can. And I always try and plan them around a race weekend because then really I'm enjoying all the Disney treats without any guilt whatsoever.
Oh, fair enough. You got to come when it's not race weekend though, because it's so much less crowded.
I am coming. I am coming in like 9 days.
Oh goodness! You picked a good time. Anytime after Labor Day and before Thanksgiving is fantastic.
I've never been to the Halloween party, so I have tickets for that, and it's the Epcot Food and Wine Festival.
Okay, fair enough.
So we're gonna go to that.
We've got new passes too, but we're kind of the crotchety old people that are like, oh, it's food and wine. That means everybody's going to be at Epcot. So I guess we're not going to go back to Epcot until after food and wine's over. And then it's, we haven't splurged for the tickets for the Halloween or the Christmas party yet, but, at some point we've got a 2-year-old. So, you know, give her another 6 or 8 years or something like that where she'll be old enough. And then we'll probably have to do that at least once to say,
yeah, you won't have a choice.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, back to the running and the Run Disney. For people that have never done a Run Disney race / racecation, from somebody who has done several of them, like I've done several of the races, but never as part of a vacation. You know, like I go and run and then come home and back to normal life, you know, as soon as the race is over. Any tips for how to try to schedule your vacation with the race, especially, you know, like you said, you're coming with a bunch of non-runners necessarily. Now you may not have little kids with you, but for people that are traveling with non-runners and trying to blend the running and the vacation, what have you found that seems to work maybe best to blend those two worlds together?
Well, I actually do think that being out in the parks after the race is a benefit to your legs. So people are always like, oh, well, I have to, you know, I'm running a half or I'm running a marathon. I have to stay off my legs as much as possible. Well, just go into this knowing that that's probably not going to happen. That you're definitely going to be sleep deprived and like just accepting that early on and making sure that you're eating enough, eating as well as you can, given that you're on vacation, and really just trying to enjoy everything. So when I've done Dopey, I have, you know, you wake up at like 3 a.m. right. to get to these races. It's absolutely crazy. And I spend the whole day in the park after. And there are some nights that I've stayed till close and I still wake up the next morning at 3 a.m., which thinking back on it. It's crazy, but somehow I have energy when I'm in Disney World.
But well, you go back to being 8-year-old Angela when you just want to be at Disney the whole time. Like, you know, like you said, you're not thinking about bills and work and all the other stuff. It's just fun.
Right. So what I'll usually do is, because when you do get back after the race, it's still early. Mm-hmm. So I will take my time getting ready then to go to the park. Shower, I'll have a real breakfast, whether it's just relaxing for a little bit or taking a nap. Whatever it is, not getting to the park super early and giving yourself some sort of downtime after the race before you go to the park to walk around to really just relax a little bit, take a little nap, whatever it is. And that has meant in the past, sometimes the family members who were there with me who didn't run and didn't wake up to watch, you know, they go to the park before me and I'll show up at 10, 11 and we'll join from there, you know, and just giving myself that little time in the morning to kind of reset everything. I think it works to your advantage in Disney to do both of that because it makes your vacation feel longer because the morning when you ran and then the day at the park feel like two separate days.
Right.
Because it's, you're like, I ran what this morning? Like, you think it was yesterday because you've already, you know, taken a nap. You were up in the dark. So it does make your vacation feel longer. But it's just accepting that you're going to be tired. But you're really just there to have fun. And walking around does help your legs.
Yeah, and you know, as you're saying this, I'm thinking to myself, you know what, like, it's just like going to Disney on vacation anyway. Like, try to relax. Don't try to do too much. You know, have fun. Like, you know, I mean, that's just a Disney vacation. So if you're a runner, you just go run a race and everything else kind of stays the same.
Yeah. With my first Dopey, it was, we were having dinner the night before the marathon. And, you know, my mom has her Fitbit and she's like, oh, well, I walked 26,000 steps today and I've been with her the whole day. So I'm like, oh, so that's wonderful. So I ran a half marathon, walked 26,000 steps and am going to run a marathon tomorrow. So the rule is during Dopey weekend, no one is allowed to complain that they're tired.
I think that's a fair rule.
If you didn't run, you are not allowed to complain that you're tired.
What, other than the obvious, which maybe that's all that there is to it, but other than the obvious, what is the difference between a Dopey marathon and a marathon standalone by itself? Other than the fact that you've already got, you know, however many miles that ends up being, 20, 26 or, you know, whatever, 18, 19 miles, something like that. Yeah, whatever it is beforehand. what's the other difference in that? Or is there another difference?
I mean, the best part is there's no stress.
Right.
There's no stress. You know, go as slow as you want. I've done a walk run for the marathons in both of my Dopeys that when I'm doing a standalone marathon, I do not employ that as a strategy. Because my legs are rested.
Right.
When you're doing Dopey, your legs are exhausted.
Nothing is rested.
Nothing is rested. You're sleep deprived. You know, your body is like, what are you doing to me? But I mean, it is so much fun. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. And you really just want to enjoy it. So you don't want your body to be aching. So this past year when we did Dopey the day of the marathon, like, we started off like employing our, you know, however it was that we decided in terms of minutes, what we were going to do, how many minutes walking versus running. And we kept that up. And by like mile 24, we felt so good. We were just like, all right, let's just finish it. Let's run the last two. So it's just, but there's no stress because you know what, if we weren't feeling good at mile 24, like, who cares?
You just walk it in at that point. Yeah, whatever.
Right. Like there's no stress. Like, who cares? Let's take photos. Let's be silly. Let's just enjoy this. And I mean, it's a special feeling to cross that finish line and think, you know, I have 48.6 miles behind me. Like, this is, it is really cool. Mm-hmm. It is really cool.
Yeah, it's something that I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever do it because I have such a hate relationship with the 5K, and just to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to drive up there to do a 5K that, you know, I hate paying $20 for a local 5K. Like, oh,
seriously,
so many reasons that I, you know, so many excuses, I guess, maybe, that I'm giving myself to not do it. But, you know, more power to it and to you guys that continue to do that kind of, you know, those races. But again, I mean, you know, like I kind of said earlier, it's a vacation. So why not? As mm-hmm. opposed to me, it's like, you know, you go do it and then you're, you know, that's like on a Thursday. So like, I'm clearly going to go back to work after that. So like, it makes it a little less special than the idea of doing it on a vacation type of situation too.
Yeah. It's a little different when, you know, you get to wear your medal to the park mm-hmm. that day.
Yeah, definitely. So we can't wrap things up today without talking about the name of your blog, because it's, I mean, I love it. I think it's a great name, but I, you know, I'm sure you get this question pretty much every time that anybody talks to you about it, but I'm still going to ask it because why not? I mean, what is it going to take for you to no longer be in denial that you're a runner, or have you accepted it, but just the blog is what it is. So you kind of ride it out.
I think I go back and forth between accepting it and still sometimes feeling like I'm just a person who runs. Mm-hmm. For when I first started running, you know, when I first signed myself up for the half, or when I accidentally signed myself up for the New York City marathon, I just felt people were like, well, you're a runner. And I would always explain, you know, I'm not a lifelong runner. Like, I don't enjoy this. Like, this is not fun. I did it by mistake, or I'm just doing this like to set my, you know, I set a goal for myself and I'm going to do it. I'm just kind of someone who runs for exercise, the same way, you know, I take spin classes. Does that make me a cyclist? Like,
right.
No. And then after so many races, when I continued to do it, people started identifying me as a runner, and I accepted that from them, but it still made me feel weird because it just sounded funny. Me as a runner. I think now I go back and forth. There are times, especially when I show up at a race or there's different things kind of going on in the running community that make me so proud to be a part of this community mm-hmm. and make me proud that people think of me as a runner, or when, you know, coworkers or friends say, I'm thinking I want to run, you know, a 5K, or I want to run a half. Can you help me? And I perk up, like, you know, what they just asked me to do. Like, that's right. It's the greatest day of my life when I get to share this sport with other people. So in that sense, I think it's like, I started it. This is the blog, I'm a runner in denial. And it's, you know, that's just what it is, because that's how it started. Mm-hmm. But I think there are times where I'm still uncomfortable with the word, because I grew up thinking a runner is someone who loves this all the time, who grew up doing it, that it comes easy to them. But it doesn't. It's not. Sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's not. And sometimes I hate running, and I make excuses to not go outside, or to cut my run short, or, you know, whatever it is to avoid running. So I think I go back and forth.
Gotcha. if I can diagnose you for a second, which clearly not any real diagnosis, but from what you just said, I think all that does is makes you a human. You know, there's yep. days that all of us love running, and there's days that all of us hate running, and that, you know, goes from the people I've talked to that have been, you know, the best in the world, whether it's Olympic type of races or marathons or ultras or whatever, to folks like you and I that were people that run, but you know, I'll be bold and say we're runners as well, but you don't have to accept that if you don't want to. you know, it's just the nature of the beast, nature of being human. Some days things are good and some days you hate it. And, you know, eventually you're going to find your way back to it again, which clearly you keep right. doing. So, you know, I'm gonna call you a runner, even if you want to disagree. That's fine.
I remember it was one of my, it was during my second marathon, and I was running with a group, and we were on this like 5 mile looped course, and the fastest of the runners, you know, lapped us and shouted words of encouragement. And as they ran by telling us how good we looked, I said, "Do you think they're as miserable as we are?" Because there was this in my head, if you were faster, which in my head equated to being a better runner at that time, I no longer believe that that's the case, but that they loved it more and that they weren't as miserable. It reminds me of a story. There was, I ran with someone who used to be a journalist, and she covered the Olympics, years ago, like 20 years ago. And she made friends with one of the American marathon runners, and he inspired her to sign up to run a marathon. And he was in New York one weekend, and they met up for dinner, and she told him that she was training for a marathon that he inspired her. And he said, "It's wonderful. How long do you think it's going to take you to finish?" And she said that she, you know, was looking for a 5 hour finish. And he dropped his fork and he looked at her amazed and was like, "Are you kidding me?" And she felt embarrassed that he was, you know, judging her, that it was going to take her, you know, 5 hours to finish. And he looked at her and he says, "I can't believe you're incredible. You can run for 5 hours." You know, so he was impressed with her, because to him, running for 5 hours
just ungodly.
Was impressive.
Right,
like, how could, right, how could anyone run for 5 hours? You are incredible. So just that, you know, different things like that, which I think makes the running community, that it's not who's better or who's faster or who's, it's a good community to be in.
It's the best community. If you're going to ask
best.
Me, it's a good community. So as we're wrapping up, Angela, I've got one last question, and it's I've been calling them kind of the philosophical questions. So I've got like a list, and I just kind of pick one usually, and very open ended. You know, you can take it and run with it. It can be a short answer, kind of just wherever, however it hits you. Certainly, you know, as with everything, no right answers, no wrong answers, just your answer. You know, at this point in the 6 or 7 years now that it's been since you ran that first marathon and started down this journey as a runner or a person who runs, or whatever the day seems to be for you, what has running kind of taught you about yourself that you're able to use in other areas, you know, the complete non-running areas of your life?
I think it's probably the biggest thing is that you can train yourself to do anything. You know, so there's all you need to do is put in the work. So whether it's a physical thing that you want to accomplish, some sort of physical goal, or, you know, something at work that you're reaching for, or promotion, or whatever it is, that you can get there. And it's just, everything takes work. You're not going to wake up in the morning and be able to run a marathon. I mean, you could, you probably wouldn't walk for a couple weeks.
Right.
Right. But that everything, if you set a goal, like, you can accomplish it. And it's really your head that needs the convincing. And I would tell this like to my parents who have done some 5Ks in the past, you know, they're really trying to get into fitness. Or when I've run with my cousin, she was the one who told me that I was annoyingly positive during her first 10K, that, you know, your body can do anything. Like, don't let your head tell you that you can't do it. So I try to apply that everywhere, that I don't want my head to tell me that I can't do something. And sometimes you have to convince yourself more and kind of fight that voice that's saying that it's not possible. Because at one point I thought a marathon was impossible.
And so clearly that's not the case.
Clearly it's not the case. You have to just tell that voice to shut up.
Yes, sometimes. And it's, you know, it's one of those things. It's easier said than done, but, you know, you just have to keep working at it and keep trying to remind yourself that I think you put it perfectly. Don't let your mind tell you your body can't do something. That's, something that I know that I need to work on. I've talked to several folks about that, and it's just, it's a struggle, but you just could kind of keep working at it, just like you keep training, and eventually it clicks and you figure it out.
Right.
Alrighty. Well, I feel like we could probably keep going, but at some point we're going to have to wrap this thing up. So, guys, again, runnerindenial.com is the website, and, Runner in Denial on the social media. But again, that's DE Runner NIAL. Again, the best social media handle I've seen. So, well done. Well done, Angela, with, winning social media. Digruns.com/312 is the show notes, guys. You can find all the links, and, we'll link up some of the posts that she's written, race recaps, things like that, especially for the dopey stuff, in case that's something you're into. You can check out kind of her experience at dopey and maybe try to use that to help you plan. Cause I know several of you are either doing it this upcoming year in 2017, or it's on your list. So check those resources out if you're interested. Angela, again, thank you for taking the time today. We definitely appreciate it. And you know, whenever you're ready to officially call yourself a runner, that's cool. But until then, being a person who runs, that's just as good. So nothing but the best going forward, and looking forward to staying in touch and seeing what the future holds for you.
Thank you.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Angela and myself, and as always, I'd love to know what stood out to you from this episode. What was your takeaway? For me, it was something that we talked about at the beginning, and kind of it wove its way in through some of the rest of the conversation, especially the Disney talk. And it's just the importance of having fun when you're racing. And I'm guilty of this. I know that I, you know, can get caught up in the results and chasing a time goal and trying to, you know, hit my splits and run my plan, run the race according to the plan that I had set out for myself. And that's all fine and good. But at the end of the day, we need to have fun when we're racing. And whether that means that, you know, we do a run walk, or whether that means we stop for a photo along the way, or just at the different mile markers have something that we're thankful for or grateful for, or that we're just enjoying, you know, like she talked about almost being the annoyingly positive runner. I can see that being annoying to be with somebody like that during a race, but I think it's a good thing. I think it would be good. I think it would be beneficial to have a little bit more power of positivity during my races. So that was the thing that stood out for me during this conversation, and something that that maybe I need to work on a little bit more and figure out a way to just be more positive and grateful at each mile of the race, even if the race is starting to go off the rails and not go according to my plan. It's never a bad thing to be positive. So that was my takeaway. I'd love to hear yours. What stood out to you from this episode? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or better yet, head over to the show notes for this episode, which you can find at DizRuns.com/312. And leave a comment, and that way other folks can see your takeaways and add to them and disagree and agree and whatever else, and the conversation can go. And also that way, when somebody finds this episode 3 months from now, they can still be part of the same conversation, which is always cool when that happens. So DizRuns.com/312 is the show notes. And that's it for today. So thank you for listening, guys. Hope you have a great rest of the day. And look forward to talking to you again real soon. Until then, take care, guys.